Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Join the growing crowd at Mid-Delta Online Auction. Download their app by searching Mid-Delta Auction to bid on tractors, trailers, heavy equipment, golf carts, and more. Download the app today or call Will Jeffcoat at 662-299-2414 for more details for the first Tuesday of every month auction in Greenwood.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
But I'm going to Mississippi, Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
But I'm going to Mississippi, Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app and your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us, too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. Now, AI can be used for some good things, and there are a few Moss Point students that are proving that to be true, and they are being recognized. And joining us today is their teacher, Missy. She's the aquaculture teacher at Moss Point Career and Technical Education, and she joins us today maybe with a few of her students to give us a little bit more. Welcome, Misty.
Hi, thank you. Glad to be here. I was actually able to have all three of the team members here today.
Oh, good. Welcome.
Hello.
And I hear a congratulations is in order because you guys have made it into, I guess, the final round or going to the national finals coming up soon for your project. Is that correct, Misty?
Yes, ma'am. So we've made the national finals for our Samsung Solve for Tomorrow competition. That will be held April 14th in Washington, D.C. So super excited to be in the top 10 in the nation.
That's really cool. Okay, let's back it up just a little bit, Missy. Tell us a little bit more about the Samsung Solve competition. I know AI was kind of used, but your class is a little bit unique, and I'm going to say aquaculture as less as possible because it's not my best word. but kind of give us an idea of what the students were pitted to kind of come up with and use their creativity and skills.
Yeah, so the Samsung competition really highlights innovative solutions to the problems we're seeing every day. And it's directed for high school, actually all school children, from elementary up into high school, to use our advancing technology to find solutions to problems that we see in everyday lives. So in aquaculture, our big thing is water quality. Our students are using underwater cameras and water quality sensors and hopefully able to get AI to link up that fish behavior to water quality so that we can have an early alert system just based on the fish movements so that we know when there's going to be problems before they actually occur.
Okay, this is pretty cool. I'm going to go with Miss Davis, one of the team members. When you were first kind of given this, I guess, problem to solve or whatever it may be, did it feel overwhelming or did you and your team kind of know exactly how to approach it or how to use AI or kind of what was your process when you first found the problem?
It was something we weren't used to. We were used to water quality, but we had never worked so closely with AI or building technology in and of itself. It was definitely a learning experience for everyone participating, and it was something that I think we all kind of had underestimated. It turned out to be a lot harder than we thought it would be, but we overcame it. That we did. It was a new thing, and I was very happy that we got to learn something new like this, but we were pretty prepared purely because of the fact that we had dealt with water quality for the past 2 years in our aquaculture course.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
That's it.
I was going to say, okay, Mr. McMillan, I'm today years old learning aquaculture and that high school students would even have an opportunity to learn about this. Is this like a cool class there at Moss Point? Do you guys all look forward to learning about this or joining in this technical career?
Yes, I say that because we do many different things. We don't just focus on water. We focus on plant, animals, and things like that.
Well, I think this is a neat class. Mr. Zatiti, did I say it correctly?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good deal. Okay, so you guys get to take this project all the way to Washington, D.C. Have you ever been there?
No, ma'am. This will be my first time, actually.
So what's about the trip, other than the competition, are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to seeing new things like the environment that they live in. I never really seen the living conditions of Washington, D.C., but I would really like to see the environment over there.
Well, make sure you take the public transportation. It's the easiest you'll find anywhere. It's color-coded. Even I can get around in Washington, D.C. But, Missy, this is really exciting. So, in terms of the competition, obviously you've made it to that national level, top 10 in the country. Go Moss Point. But what did you have to do to get there? What was kind of like the layers of competition to get you to this final stage?
The first stage was a sort of a written project overview, what we wanted to do, the problems we wanted, how we thought we were going to be able to solve it. Once you made it through that, you were in semifinals. It was 100 people were selected to move on, and we had to make a 3-minute video. So that was really fun. We had to play around with everything, go through all the labs. It was even editing the video was a new experience. From those 100, they picked 10 to move forward.
So there, will y'all be putting it to the test, Misty, or is it more of like it will like sort of I guess show itself? How will it work in D.C.?
They'll have a set time. They'll have 4 minutes to kind of pitch their project, and then they'll have a question and answer portion of it. There'll also be another part where we're going to have sort of an exhibition where we're going to have that demonstration. So the prototype will be built and running and working there. We're hoping to be able to also live stream one from our tanks during this whole time to kind of show them it in action.
Oh, Ms. Davis, how excited are you about finally having a prototype, being there in Washington, D.C. with your team? What's this experience, or how excited are you for this experience?
I'm excited for all of it. I'm excited to see the sights. I'm also excited that we managed to make it this far. I believed in us from the beginning, but to actually make it is another thing. I'm really excited to try to go to the Smithsonian the most, but I'm just excited for everything, to be honest.
Well, it should be. It's an exciting trip. You'll be going right there during the beautiful cherry blossoms. You won't want to miss out on that. Mr. McMillan, what are you looking forward to most by traveling to D.C.?
Something I'd be looking forward to most is mostly like the views and just seeing new things.
Lots of new things to see in D.C. Okay, Mr. Zatiti, working as a team, what was the hardest part of working in a team? I'm going to give you the hard one.
The hardest part of working as a team, honestly, that's really a hard question because we are a really good team. But
that's a great answer.
It's really hard to pick out what the hardest thing is because we really do work well as a team together. But other than that, no, there really isn't any hard thing. I really feel like we're a good community put together to work on this.
Well, what a good answer, Misty, especially as a teacher. You're probably holding your breath at that. I would say, but working as a team is such an important skill to build, especially in high school. I mean, you get further when you work together in that way. Do your students there at Moss Point, I know not every are going to make it to a national level like this, but is this part of the everyday curriculum, in the aquaculture kind of classes?
Water quality is growing the fish is part of that curriculum. We did take it a step farther, adding those coding skills and the AI portion to it. I feel that this is part of technology that is our future, and so it would be a good addition to just really kind of boost what our curriculum has and giving it just a little extra well-rounded. But most everything that we are doing and the solutions that we are looking to solve the problems of, that is all part of our curriculum. Growing fish either as food or to help restock our native populations out in the wild. It is a big goal of aquaculture, which is a growing industry in our nation.
Well, it's a new term that I learned today, and I've learned that you guys are doing it really well. You mentioned that there may be a way, Misty, that we could, that you may get to stream it live, or that us back here in Mississippi can root you guys on later on in April. How would we be able to follow the students as they kind of travel to Washington, D.C. and have this opportunity?
So the actual pitch and award ceremony will be live streamed through Samsung. I do not have that link yet. But one of the ways we're really trying to help with that support ahead of time is there is a Community Choice Awards portion where you can vote for our video, and the highest number of votes will receive a $10,000 award to use towards our program. And you do that on the Samsung Solve for Tomorrow website. You can vote every day until April 8th.
Well, you got to send me that link, Misty. I'll put it in the Good Things Facebook group, and we'll get Mississippi behind you. But congratulations to all three of you and everybody part of the team. This is great work, and we look forward to cheering you on as you head to your next level competition. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All righty, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
If you're overwhelmed by household...
Here comes more with Rebecca Turner.
It is not every day that you find a woman like that.
This is Good Things on the SuperTalk app, supertalk.fm, and on your local SuperTalk Mississippi radio station.
Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that SuperTalk Mississippi app and your local SuperTalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to SuperTalk TV. And we're catching up with one of our favorites today, Heather Wilmoth. She is the event coordinator for Team Hope Mississippi for Huntington's disease. Also one of the disease's most passionate advocates for good reason. And she's joining us today to catch us up and encourage us to be a part of the effort. So welcome, Heather.
Hi, thank you for letting me come on. Especially, we've got we're doing some things differently this year, so I appreciate you letting me come on and talk about it.
So let's talk about the walk. How many years have you been coordinating that here in Mississippi?
This makes year five that we've had Team Hope Walk Mississippi for Huntington's. My husband, Nathan, who suffers from the disease, was diagnosed April 15th of 2016, and later that year we were at an education day at UAB, and there were these, I mean, college kids that were putting on Team Hope Walk Alabama. And, you know, we drove all the way. When it was over, we were driving home, and we, for 4 hours, bouncing ideas back and forth about a walk. And it wasn't until, I think it was 2022, I got brave enough that I decided, well, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, and if it fails, at least I tried. And that first year, I called them my handlers from HDSA, Huntington's Disease Society of America. They were like, well, your goal is 6,000, and I'm like, we'll be lucky to get 600. And we surpassed it and raised almost $13,000. This year, our goal is 19,000, and so we could really use all the help we can get. This year, things are a little different. In the past, it was you register for $30, got a T-shirt. This go-around, registration is free. You can come and join us and register and all the things, and it's for free. However, to get the incentives like the T-shirt and that kind of thing, you have to peer-to-peer raise $100. But something that's we've been pushing last week and this week. So tomorrow is the last day that you can early bird register and get a star pin for early bird registration. But tomorrow is the last day when you sign up. If you raise $150 or more, you can have they're calling it a yard sign fundraising incentive. And what it is to each yard sign that is raised will be along our walk path. And it can be in honor of, in memory of. You can put a photo on there if you want. But you have to register by tomorrow evening. And with that, if you raise the $150, you get the yard sign with in honor or in memory of, or whatever you choose. And you get the T-shirt and the early bird registration pin. So you get all three, but you got to do it by tomorrow.
So where do we do this, Heather?
You go to hdsa.org/THWMS. And that stands for Team Hope Walk Mississippi. And our walk will be May 2nd. It's a Saturday, and it's going to be at the Flowood Nature Park in Flowood, Mississippi. Check-in will be between 8 to 8:30. Walk will be at 9 a.m. And as always, we're always looking for people to come join us and just, you know, visit and hang out. And this is like our yearly Huntington's get-together. And we're always looking for auction and raffle items. So if you have something you'd like to donate that we could help raise more money for the Huntington's Disease Society of America. And I guess I probably should tell folks that don't know what Huntington's is, what Huntington's is.
Yes.
Huntington's disease is a terminal neurodegenerative brain disease that is like having ALS, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's all at the same time. There is no cure. There is no treatment. There is a potential treatment, but it's having some problems with the FDA. So I'm going to throw my advocacy hat on real quick. Back in September of last year, a company called Unicure had announced that a drug that they have called AMT-130 that's been in clinical trial showed a lot of promising progress. It slowed the disease in the patients that got it by 75%. So that means someone like, for example, the reason this is so near and dear to my heart is that my husband suffers from the disease. My stepdaughter was diagnosed with it, and our son together is at risk. So someone like my stepdaughter who's pre-symptomatic or early, someone that's early symptomatic could possibly have this 15-hour brain surgery and have this medication injected into their brain, and where someone may start showing their signs and symptoms. Typical age for Huntington's symptoms to start is between ages 30 to 50. There is a juvenile version that it attacks the kids and attacks them hard and fast. But a typical Huntington's patient starts their signs and symptoms between ages 30 and 50. Well, with this potential treatment, you could push that back off a good 10 years.
Which is priceless. You can't put a price tag on that kind of lifespan, Heather. How do we help with that? Is there things to still do other than just talking about it and advocating for it? Obviously, coming out and supporting the Hope Walk is a big part of that because it raises funds for more research in that area, which is the key to cure eventually. But is there anything else that we can be doing?
Absolutely. Reach out to your federal leaders. As a matter of fact, HDSA has a, and it's so easy. If you go to hdsa.org and click on the advocacy tab, and once you get there, click on take action. And HDSA has some, you look for the letter that's appropriate for you. If you are suffering from Huntington's, you click on that letter. If you're from a Huntington's family, or if you're a friend or someone who wants to help the Huntington's community. So they have these three different letters, and each of the letters are directed towards our federal leaders to ask them to encourage the FDA to at least give a fair review. We're not asking for it to be, oh, FDA, you must do this. We're wanting a fair review, and we're not getting that right now. So that's been what those of us in the community that advocate have really been asking our families and our friends and even people that don't even know us to help us out with that as well. And HDSA has made it so easy. You can read the letter right there, but all you have to do is put in your name, your address, your email address, and I'm not sure if you have to put in a phone number. I don't recall. But yeah, we're really asking our federal leaders to give a fair review or help us ask the FDA to give AMT 130 a fair review, because right now that's the only thing that's got any kind of potential. Especially it's mainly geared towards those who are either pre-symptomatic or early symptomatic. So we are asking for that. If you guys out there wouldn't mind helping us out, we'd really appreciate it. Now, I do want to mention the numbers that I get. Mississippi has 200 families, or that's the estimated number, is 200 families dealing with Huntington's. But, and Rebecca, you've heard me say this a million times, when you stop and think about 200, yeah, it doesn't sound like a lot, 200 families, but when you stop and think about how many people are in a family, we're a family of four. We have two. There's a family in North Mississippi that I know has, I think it was seven, that are dealing with Huntington's. There's another family, I think, on the coast that has four. So when you hear, oh, there are only 200 families dealing with Huntington's disease, well, that's not a very accurate number.
Well, that's also 200 too many, Heather. It's a terrible disease.
Too many.
And if we want to go and go ahead and sign up early for that pre-registration before tomorrow for the 2026 Team Hope Walk here in Mississippi, where do we go to do that?
HDSA.org/THWMS, Team Hope Walk Mississippi.
All righty, and that $150 donation or fundraising will get you an extra perk this year, which I think is definitely a good thing. I know as we move closer to that walk, Heather, we're going to get you back to chat a little bit more and remind us of all the good things that you guys are doing with your advocacy around the disease. But as always, it's good to have you, friend.
Thank you, Rebecca. I really appreciate it.
All right, you guys stick with us. We got more good stories for you coming up next.
To ease your mind. Hold tight, you'll slowly come back to life. I've been giving you hell, I've been giving you hell. Let go of all your wanted dreams tonight. I've been giving you hell, I've been giving you hell. Hold tight, you'll slowly come back to life. I've been giving you hell, I've been giving you hell. Let go of all your wanted dreams tonight. I've been giving you hell, I've been giving you hell. And I won't let you down.
From the Seabrook.
Rebecca Turner.
She's amazing.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any. Being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And don't forget too about our Supertalk Mississippi news team. They are always covering your Mississippi stories. And we want you to stay up to date. You can do that with their free weekly newsletter. Don't forget, that comes out tomorrow. So there's still plenty of time to put your email in. Just go to supertalk.fm/newsletter. It is free and you will get all the latest headlines coming up tomorrow right in your inbox. And we've got a great headline for you today. Today you'll get to hear from Sisters Allie Hargrett. She is a freshman at Ole Miss who is helping to lead the way with family and friends in a statewide effort to help find a bone marrow donor for her younger sister Kate. No sibling rivalry here. I know we're working to get both on the phone now, but Rhino, do we have Kate on the line? All right, Kate, are you with us?
Hi, this is Jenny. This is her mom. I'm here, and I think that maybe Allie is in a test right now.
That is totally okay. You know what? School comes first. I know she is as a freshman. You just never know how those times are going to play out. But we will at least share the good story and hopefully maybe get Allie back to share her side at a later time. But Jenny, this has been such a journey for you and your family and definitely for your daughters coming together to work so hard together. When did y'all first find out about Kate's particular condition, health condition?
Well, we've known all of Kate's life that she had a bone marrow failure disorder and that transplant could be a possibility at some point. But in recent years, she had been pretty healthy and we'd kind of gotten used to normal routines of life. And we were really thrown in October when one of her bone marrow biopsies showed that she had developed a TP53 mutation. That particular mutation can indicate that a malignancy is beginning to develop. And so that has sort of rapidly sped up our push to make sure that she has a match for a bone marrow transplant in the future. And so we're sort of feel like we're kind of in a race against time. You know, we don't know what is going to happen with Kate's health, but we do know that at this time she doesn't have a match in the registry. So we are pushing really hard to try to recruit as many people as possible to join the registry. And it's really not just for Kate. I know that there are over 600 Mississippians that are also searching for a match. And typically about 12,000 Americans in a year will look for a match through one of the registries.
So let's talk about what it means to be on the registry. I think when you think about donations, I can think of like kidney and maybe some of the other donor registries that we've had here on Good Things. I don't think we've ever really talked about in kind of the process with bone marrow. So Jenny, kind of explain to us if someone gets on the registry, what's kind of what are we looking for? Or what does that donation kind of look like? I know you're not the medical health provider that does the you know, procedure, but kind of what are you asking of the donor?
I'm really glad that you asked that question. I think that there is a lot of misinformation out there about the process of donating. Science has come a long way, even in the last 10 years. And typically, in 90% of cases, the donor procedure is much like donating platelets or plasma. It is a simple procedure. It just takes a few hours. Many of the donors report that after that, they just feel a little sore, maybe like a bruise, or they've worked out a little bit too hard. And so it is really not the invasive procedure that it was in years past. So, for example, Kate has had 2 bone marrow biopsies in the last few months, and we have another one coming up. For that procedure, she is put to sleep. They drill into her hip bone, and they pull that marrow out. That is nothing like the process for the donor. The donor's is done through a vein, and so it is a much easier process. I think that the idea of being a donor is really intimidating when you think about some of the other processes to donate, like you mentioned, when you're talking about donating an organ. The bone marrow donation process is a much simpler process, and that's really due to the advancements in science in recent years.
So how do you become a match? If you get on the registry, Jenny, as you're encouraging folks to kind of think about doing, what happens next? And where do you even go to get on the registry? Like, how do we do that? How do we help you, Jenny?
Yeah, okay. So the first part of that is how do you join? Joining is really simple. Essentially, there are a couple of different companies. We have been working with NMDP. They used to be the Match. And they recruit donors or people to be potential donors who are between the ages of 18 and 35. That age range was selected because the five-year survival rate after a transplant is highest when the donor is between that age range. However, once someone is in the NMDP registry, they will stay in that registry until age 61. So you're not purged at a certain age. The other company is DKMS. They accept potential donors between the ages of 18 and 55. And really, you know, in the position that we're in with Kate, she does not have a good match that is related to her. So we are looking for a match. Ideally, we'd love to find a perfect match for her in that ideal age range. However, there's always a possibility that the perfect match we find may be in that older age range. So you can join either registry. The process is simple. You answer a few health questions. You swab the inside of each cheek 30 seconds, return the swabs to your kit. And if you're at a in-person drive, you just hand it back to the volunteer. The companies are really great about sending out kits and including the return postage, so you're able to swab and find out if you might be a potential match even from the comfort of your home. Once you send in that kit or it's delivered back from one of our drives, it takes about 6 to 8 weeks for it to be processed at the lab, and at that point you will be in the registry to be a potential match. One thing that's really important is that if you attend an in-person drive, the company will send you a text message to confirm that you want to be a part of the registry. So it's really important that you answer that text message, confirm that you want to be in it. And at that point, you are in the registry and you could be matched with someone from all over the United States. And there are even some international matches to give that life-saving gift.
And I know that's where kind of Allie comes in with her work there on the campus of Ole Miss. I feel like they have supported you guys and really tried to rally around getting that perfect age range, because that does sound like college students kind of fit to that perfect age range to be a bone marrow match. What is like the School of Pharmacy and other things kind of done to help advocate for more people on the registry? Jenny?
Yes. So I am a teacher, and I have been blessed by so many of my former students stepping up to help us, one of whom is a pharmacy student at the University of Mississippi, and she really pushed to have them help with this, and they were a huge help with us. Allie is a member of Chi Omega Sorority at Ole Miss, and so many of those girls stepped up to work the tables and volunteer, because a lot of work goes into the background of one of these drives, particularly one with the impact that the one at Ole Miss had. So in 2 days, they swabbed, I believe the final count was 1,248 people. And since then, they've had another 200 to 300 people swab in addition to that. So that's a hugely successful drive. And it's going to be meaningful for a number of people. I really feel like, you know, when we add those sorts of numbers to the registry, there's such a huge chance that we're going to save a life, whether that's Kate or another patient who is currently searching.
When is there any more drives coming up, Jenny, at least in Mississippi, that we should know about?
There are a ton of drives in the works and some that are fully scheduled. So Saturday will be in Winona, Mississippi, on Monday and Tuesday, the 30th and 31st, at the University of Arkansas. And then April 1st, we're at the University of Mississippi Medical Center in Jackson. And then April the 2nd, there is a drive on the Gulf Coast. And we have several others that are planned at some of the smaller schools and churches and businesses. So while we are sort of highlighting or trying to really recruit on college campuses, we're also interested in reaching other community events, churches, businesses. You know, we have no idea where Kate's match is, and we're certainly interested in working with anyone willing to help us host a drive.
Well, we'll make sure that we get all that information out on upcoming drives, Jenny, keeping Kate and your entire family into our prayers, and look forward to getting Allie back, too, when she's out of class and made her good grades and sharing her side of the story. So I appreciate your time today.
Sure, no problem. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, you sit with us. We got more for you coming up next.
I'm
Becca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Yes, I ain't too diplomatic. I just never been the kind to go along.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget we are streaming live, as always, over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app at your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. But you can watch us, too. We are on your computer. We are on your mobile device. We are also on your Roku, Amazon Fire TV devices, even YouTube. If you've got C-Spire TV, we are on Channel 70, right next to the Weather Channel. And I mentioned earlier about our Supertalk Mississippi news team, but I wanted to share at least that there's a great article by J.T. Mitchell on Daniel Stallsworth. He is their American Idol, I guess, front runner now for Mississippi, or will be one of the front runners, or should be one of the front runners. Look at me, like, speaking things into existence. I know that there's a new show coming up tonight. Great interview, a little behind the scenes for him as we approach tonight's episode. And I couldn't get tickled, and I didn't have time, but I wanted to ask the students from Moss Point earlier who were headed to Washington, D.C. for their I guess top 10 in the national competition that they're in for their aquaculture, if they were rooting for Daniel. I mean, they're in that generation to probably be watching American Idol with being a Moss Point native. So I thought, wow, you know, look at Moss Point. You shining on all fronts, whether it's with the students and the career technology headed to Washington, D.C., or whether it's Daniel who's making his run there at American Idol. But you can find that and more over at supertalk.fm. So yeah, Rhino, learned a new word today. Aquaculture. And I feel like I could figure out what that meant. But I also, more importantly, feel like in high school, that would have been really cool to learn about. We got gypped when it came to career and technology. I know it existed, but it took kind of like a back seat there for a couple of years, and now they're bringing it back in full force. But like, how neat is it to think that, you know, students here in Mississippi are getting these opportunities to, you know, take a crack at some of these, you know, greater questions or problems that humanity basically or the globe has. And they're like, hey, figure it out, fresh minds who aren't, you know, blubbered down by you can't do it, won't work kind of things. Like, sometimes ignorance is bliss in the way of you don't know what you don't know and you're willing to still kind of figure it out.
It's easier to think outside the box if you're not aware of the box yet.
Correct. Right. Like, no fear of failure, ready to like pull out all the different stops and kind of put it all together, but two, kind of showing where, you know, AI or artificial intelligence, look, trust me, it's got its red flags. It kind of creeps me out too in certain areas. But then you can recognize, wow, when used appropriately or when used, you know, with good intentions in the right way, the technology can have a good effect for other things. And the students are being able to use that in sort of that way. But make top 10, that's pretty impressive. Would you have enjoyed schools like that, but classes like that? Would that have been something that you would have checked the box at 18-year-old Rhino, 17-year-old Rhino?
I don't know that I would have gotten into aquaculture, but with AI, I definitely would have been interested because that was one of the electives I took in high school was the programming language classes they offered. Not realizing at the time that the programming languages offered in the curriculum were about 10 years out of date.
Yeah.
Like, we learned BASIC, which is still a good foundational understanding of programming, and then went from BASIC to an old compiler programming language called Pascal that even in the early 2000s when I was taking the class was obsolete. Like, there was the only people still programming in Pascal were people keeping computers running from the 70s at that point.
Jeff in Pontotoc says, career technology. That was called shop when I was in school. Still cool. Like, how cool would that be? I know there's some schools that are trying to, like, bring that back. I got tickled, though, when I asked the student about the hardest part of being in a group. Look, there's two types of people in this world. People who like group work and everybody else. Not everybody likes group work. But usually that's because when you're forced into groups, particularly in the high school setting, that would just be in your general kind of classes. It's not always equally yoked in the work that gets done. And I almost can say everybody who has made it through college, you have a nightmare of a story that has to do with group work of some of a group work or group project in some capacity. Not everybody was built to be part of a team, let me just say. Let me just sort of say it that way as well. Debbie from Ocean Springs says, ooh, oh, I don't know. But we will.
She said Pascal was from before when we were born.
Okay, gotcha.
Which is true. It was an old language when I learned it.
Well, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next. You got the boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Pass me by. See, I can see good things for you tonight. Yeah, good things for you tonight. Yeah, good things for you tonight. Yeah, good things for you.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.